Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you look with me down in verse 9, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and by the way, his first letter, he's writing to a church that's a mess. His second letter, they had straightened a lot of things out, and it was much more complimentary to them. But this first letter was, they were a mess, and he was trying to straighten them out. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul says, don't be deceived by these guys on TV that'll tell you you can live how you want to live and still go to heaven. You don't have to worry about what the Bible says and all that kind of stuff. You just pray this prayer over here. If you just put some money in the plate or you just do this, God will overlook all of that stuff. Paul says, don't be deceived. The wicked are not going to heaven. Now look what he says to the believers there in verse 11. "And such were some of you." You know what he's saying? You Corinthians, you have a past that includes adultery and murder and thievery and fraud and drunkenness and extortion and homosexuality and all these other things that are listed, idolatry and all these things that appear in this list of things that are unrighteousness, that are wickedness, that God says not going into heaven. And Paul says to these believers, and some of you were that. Notice he doesn't say some of you are that. One of the problems I have with programs like NA and AA is people go through AA, and they've been through that program. They'll say, you know, I'm an alcoholic, but I'm a sober alcoholic, or I'm an alcoholic in recovery for so many years. So, folks, when you're changed by the power of God, you're not an alcoholic anymore. You're not a drunkard anymore. You were a drunkard, now I'm sober. By the power of God, I am sober. I'm delivered from the bondage of that sin. That's not who I am anymore. When I got redeemed, my past got dealt with. You were adulterers. You were idolaters. You were extortioners. You were all of these evil things that are listed in here. Then he says in verse 11, "But ye are washed." Isn't that great news? "But ye are sanctified," that means set apart to God. "But ye are justified," your sins are gone, "in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The Corinthians had a past, but it was in the past. You're not that anymore. You Corinthian believers, that was who you were. Now, by the power of God, you've been changed. Now you need to start living differently. You need to depart from iniquity. You need to stop identifying yourself as what you were and start identifying yourself by what you are, which is redeemed. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Not only did these Corinthians have a past, the Apostle Paul had a past. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you go down with me to verse 12, Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says in verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before, in my past, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." What was Paul's past? He persecuted the name of Jesus. He blasphemed the name of Jesus. The one who had died for his sins, he blasphemed. He set out to destroy that name. He set out to destroy anybody who worshipped in that name, who claimed that name. He had a past of blasphemy. He had a past of being a persecutor. He had a past of being injurious. It means that he would say the most vile and awful things to the people that he was persecuting. He would threaten them. He would go after them. He would not just be content throwing them in jail. He had to hurt them emotionally and mentally, and he had to make threats to them, and he had to try to break them mentally and break them emotionally. That's what the word injurious means. That he is like a form of psychological warfare. As he was, you know, you'll never see your kids again. You'll never see your husband again. You'll never. Wait till we're done with you. The book of Acts says Saul, before he got saved, was breathing out threatenings. That's what it's talking about. You imagine the Apostle Paul as he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He realizes that the conviction, the pricks he'd been feeling in his heart were true, and that Jesus did rise from the dead. He was the Messiah they were looking for. He was the fulfillment of all the prophecies that they had studied, and that he decided to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then Jesus takes him and says, now I'm going to turn you into a preacher and a missionary, and you're going to go represent me all over the place. And his reputation was so bad that when an angel came to Ananias and said, you know, go see Brother Saul. He said, I know who that guy is. I don't want nothing to do with him. No. That's his past. I've redeemed him. You can go talk to him. And then a couple years later, Saul shows up at the church at Jerusalem. And he says, hey, I'd like to join you guys. And they say, no, thanks. You ever heard of somebody getting voted down for membership in a church? He did. It says it in the scripture. Read the book of Acts. They said, no, we don't want you. We think you're a spy. Get lost. Barnabas comes alongside and says, no, I've been watching him for the last couple of years. This guy preaches. He's got the Spirit of God on him. He is saved. You can't fake what this guy's doing. Turn on TBN, you can see a lot of guys faking the power of God. Paul wasn't faking it. On the second vote, he got in. But you know, when he went and he preached the gospel to people and people got saved and people began to look at the Apostle Paul and they began to, you know, put him on a pedestal, he would remind them, I was just a blasphemer, and it's only by the grace of God I'm in the ministry. I was stupid and foolish when I did those things. In fact, that's what he says. I found grace and mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I was just stupid then. But now I know. I've rejected what I was in the past. And Paul, in his past, was an evil man. But if you look with me at Philippians chapter 3, here's what Paul told the Philippians about his past. Philippians chapter 3. Look with me at verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, meaning he says, I haven't arrived, I'm not perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know the thing that stops a lot of believers from pressing for the mark, pressing toward the mark of the high calling? You know what stops a lot of believers? They don't forget their past. Paul, when he says, I forget those things which are behind, it's not that he did not have a mental record of them. It's not that he could not go back to them. But every time Satan came to him and said, yeah, you used to persecute that name, that's not me. I'm a new creature. That's under the blood. That person's dead. That person was crucified with Christ. The person living today is not that person who is a blasphemer. Satan, get lost. That's what he meant by forgetting those things. I'm not going to let what happened 10 years ago, I'm not going to let my failures, I'm not going to let my sin, I'm not going to let my stupidity in the past. Now that I'm a believer, now that I'm saved, now that that's all washed in the blood, I'm not going to let that stop me from moving forward. I'm going to take that chain off, leave that anchor behind, and now I'm going to press toward the mark, and I'm just going to forget about all that because I can't go back and change that. All that can be done with that is Jesus' blood can cover it. I can't get rid of it, but God can. Some of us here today, we think about our past and we think, man, I made this decision, I made that bad choice, I did this foolish thing or whatever, and we have a past. We have things that we are not proud of, things that you would not want to come up here and announce to the congregation. Aren't you glad our thoughts cannot be projected on the screen above my head right now? We all are trying to depart from iniquity. We all have things in our past. Some of us have some things in our present we need to deal with, and that's what the adoption tells us, to depart from that iniquity. It does not bring honor to the family name, so let's get rid of that. But once it's in the past, we have to remember we've been redeemed. It's under the blood. It's taken care of. The ransom's been paid. The jail cell is open. The chains have come off. I can either go like this, or I can just turn my back to my past and just go. What did Jesus say about that? In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Don't look over your shoulder at your past. You've trusted me. I've taken care of it. Okay, now I want you to plow in my field. The best way to do that is to keep your eyes out in front of you as you're plowing. Because if you're doing this, you're going to make a mess. You already had a mess back here. Forget about that. Just plow straight now. Just plow straight today. "Well, Pastor, you don't know what's in my past." Okay, well, you know, if you used to be an embezzler, we're probably not going to let you be our treasurer, okay? All right, there's some prudence that we have to exercise in those things. It's under the blood, it's covered, but, you know, why put ourselves in dumb positions like that? But at the same time, that used to be an embezzler. Okay, you can't be the treasurer, but what else could you be for Christ? How else could you serve the Lord at the church? How else could you win the loss besides being the treasurer? It's okay. We all have a past. The Corinthian believers had a past, but that's what they were. It's not what they are. Paul had a past. It's not what he was. It's what he was, not what he is. Redemption teaches us to forget our past. God's forgotten your past. In Psalm 103:12, the Bible says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." As far as the east is from the west. If you at any point, just take a globe and at any point on there, start drawing a line east and let me know when you start heading west. You know, the reality is you will always be going east. You rotate that globe around, you're still going east, still going east, still going east, still going east. It's not true of north and south, by the way. Isn't that interesting? If you start going north on the globe, eventually you're going to start going south. But if you start going east, you'll never be going west. You'll always be going east. That's how far your sin is separated from God's memory. As far as the east is from the west. By the way, if you believe the earth is flat, you can't claim this promise. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Isn't that good? You know, Satan wants to bring up our past. Anytime you start dwelling on your past failures, that's not God. That's the devil. You say, "God, Satan's bothering me about that sin I did in the past, and I confessed it and forgave it." And the Lord's like, "What sin are you talking about? I have no record of that. You know, in Colossians, the Bible says, in fact, I think it's not in my notes, but I like it. Colossians chapter 2. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Pretty sure. I'm getting close. Yes, verse 13. He says, and you, Colossians 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened. That means to make alive. He hath made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Satan accuses us and tries to bring up our past before the Lord, and the Lord says, I have no record. I have no memory of that. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember that. Well, surely, Lord, you have a record of everything that's ever been done, whatever this person did. It's surely in the record. And they open up the book, and they start going through the book, and they find your name and all the sin that you are guilty of. And what they find for the believer is that all of those things are blotted out by the blood of Christ. There's no record. There's no record. Why are you letting your past hold you back when God says there's no reason for your past to hold you back? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He has forgotten them. He's put them out of his mind. They've been dealt with. They've been paid for. They were dealt with on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Your sin, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, your sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. It was dealt with, it was paid for, and now it's gone. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Micah's talking about a time when God would restore Israel, that Israel would finally come to repentance and accept the Messiah, and that God would take all of their rebellion in the past, all of their idolatry of the past, all of their wickedness of the past, and he would throw it in the depths of the sea and it'd be gone. He'd forget all about it as soon as they confessed it. Be gone. That's what redemption does for us. It teaches us to forget our past. Who cares what you were before you got saved? Who cares the failures you've had even as a believer? Get them right with God. Confess it to God. He will cleanse you and forgive you, and you'll be washed clean. And it is now. Let's press on. Now, maybe you disqualify yourself from certain things. Unfortunately, that men in the ministry who commit certain deeds, they can be forgiven and their past can be gone, but they're not qualified to be in a pulpit anymore. That's the unfortunate reality. It shouldn't stop them from winning people to Christ, and they could still teach the Bible. They can still do things, but they just can't stand in a pulpit and be a pastor anymore. They've disqualified. That happens. The prodigal son, when he came home, didn't get another inheritance. The prodigal's father told the older brother, all that I have is yours. But he's still going to be treated like a son. He's going to get all the blessings of a son. He just wasted his inheritance. There's not another one. But he's still a son. And he still can come home, and he can still live in the house and still eat of the food, and he can still help on the family with the family business, and he can still be a part of everything. He just doesn't have the same inheritance he would have had if he hadn't wasted it. There are some men who've wasted the blessings that God has given them to be in the ministry. Okay, serve God another way. We've got to be careful, I think, in fundamental circles. In the past, we've had a habit of shooting our wounded. Oh, this person messes up. Don't care about them. Get them out of here. When the Scripture says spiritual ones restore the fallen in the spirit of meekness, considering themselves. It's Galatians 6:1 if you want to look at it. Okay, you have a past. Let's just admit it. You have a past. Just like everybody else around. Look around the room today. Everybody that you see in this room has a past. It's okay. You have a past. If you're saved here today, that past is under the blood. It's gone, and it's time to forget about it. Learn the lessons, but take the forgiveness, and let's press toward the mark. Nothing holding us back, especially nothing behind us. Leave it behind. If you're ever really concerned about it, go back to God and say, God, you remember that thing that you forgave me of? He'll say, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. You have been redeemed. It's under the blood. It's been blotted out. Now, wouldn't your Christian life be much more enjoyable if you just let go of some of those things of the past? Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we're thankful for the redemption.